Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. I present on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, the Zencast, the Community Network, and others. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Today's program is brought to you by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. 74 degrees, cloudy here in the New York metro area at the top of the hour, and we welcome you on this Thursday afternoon to the program about TV's current and future. And joining us live from Santa Monica and London, respectively, the two key executive producers of the new MGM Plus saga, The Winter King, that premiered this past Sunday night, Julie Gardner and Lachlan McKinnon. Julie and Lachlan, welcome in. Great to have you.
Hi, Simon. Lovely to be here. How are you?
Very, very fine, Julian Laughlin, and we're happy our audience is with us, too. And if you want to talk to our guests, make a call. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Get on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, speaker, TV, and screen. Follow the instructions, and those will be live with you. We'll have our news notes for today later on in this half hour. Julie, what's been the reaction from people not only here in the U.S., but all over the place to your new series?
I think good, Simon. I mean, you know, you're always nervous and excited in equal measure when a show launches. I mean, all you can do is be proud of the work. You know, we know how hard we worked on it. We know how much we love Bernard Cornwell's novels. We adore our cast. So the reaction seems to be good. But, you know, you're always looking for, okay, what's going to come? What's the future going to be? Will we get a second season? So, you know, we're planning for the future. So it's a good time.
And Lachlan, what about you? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I've been really enjoying the feedback that's been coming our way. I'm just great to hear what the audience are feeling about the show. As Julie was saying, when you work with such great underlying material, the novels of Bernard, you know, we really love his work, and I think what we were, you know, taken by in the first place was, you know, I personally knew a little bit about the King Arthur legends, but just the sort of what you learn at school, really, and it was just doing a deep dive into the novels that just, you know, pulled back so many layers to the story, especially from the way that the book's been told through not just Arthur, but also Nimue and Derval's characters.
Mm-hmm. Julie, when people think of the King Arthur legend, they'll either think of movies with people like Robert Wagner, Robert Taylor from the 1950s color, like CinemaScope epics, or they'll think of Richard Burton or Richard Harris, where they saw Camelot, the Broadway musical, on the stage or in the movies. When did you and Lachlan and your crew think, hey, this version of the Arthur tale from these best-selling books would make good television?
So, as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm Welsh. I grew up in a small village in Wales, and I was a huge reader. And I, from a very young age, adored the Arthurian legend. And I was a huge film and, you know, TV buff. And I watched, you know, all those examples you mentioned, I watched and loved. And I always felt for Bad Wolf, our company based in Wales, that this legend was for us to tell. And when we got the rights to Bernard's novels, it just opened up, you know, an incredible opportunity because, you know, as I'm sure everyone feels, Bernard is an extraordinary storyteller. His attention to detail, his historical fact-checking, but his ability to tell a really exciting, characterful story and reinterpret a myth is just fantastic, second to none. And so I think I'd wanted to tell this for decades, I think from a child. And when the rights became available, it was a moment to grab. And I think, you know, when you set up to do a fantasy piece or a fantasy slash period piece, you're always asking yourself, how do you build the world? And of course, the novels are the North Star. They're the guide for everything that we do. But I think, you know, to really boil it down, you often see with those kind of pieces – it's either, you know, chiffon and beauty, or it's, you know, an adaptation that is dark and muddy and a bit rainy. And what we set out to achieve with our lead director and EP, Otto Bathurst, was we tried to pull those two types of approach together. So what I hope we've achieved is a beautiful picture, colorful, you know, a world that an audience will engage and relate to and love, but also a world where the risks are high and life, you know, it's a dangerous world. It's a grounded world. So we wanted to do the two things.
Mm-hmm. Lachlan, how did you and everyone try to live not only to the spirit of these books, which by the way are called the Warlord Chronicles, but also to try to have its own identity from other similar, what some might call similar shows, like Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings, etc.?
I guess the one topic that was talked about a lot was authenticity, and it was something that we wanted to really dig deep into, you know, led by Otto, our director, as Julie was saying. So it meant that as we were researching the period, because obviously it's called the Dark Ages, and it's dark for a reason because not much is known about them, and we worked with a historian called Ronald Hutton from the University of Bristol, and through, you know, with his guidance, as well as the incredible novels that Berner's written, which, you know, also are hugely well researched, we started to build a picture of what the world would have been like within those times themselves, because it was a particularly brutal time to grow up. And, you know, for example, if you wanted someone's land, you basically killed them. And, you know, Arthur as a character, he would see how disruptive this was to the unity of Britain, and especially with the Saxons arriving on our shores. You know, they were the true enemy. So we kind of started to dig into those kind of bigger themes with the help of the creative team and thinking about how this would look. You know, so working with the production designer, James North, the costume designer. Yeah, so working with the whole creative team to just dig deep into A, the stories that Berner's written, and B, the time and place. And as Julie was saying, it's about trying to sort of create something that, you know, Dr. would say it's a definitive Arthur story. It's about portraying Arthur in a way that we've never seen before, and it's giving him the authenticity to come in as a leader and find that new way of politics, you know, which in many ways can be incredibly contemporary given what's happening in the world at the minute.
Julie, given the fact that you wanted a, as you said a moment ago, a grounded fantasy drama, what are the qualities of the central character, King Arthur, or Arthur Pendragon, as we start to know him, did you want to bring out, and how did that lead you to cast Ian Day Casedecker in that role?
Yes. So, I mean, it's an interesting question because it's also a question that goes to the heart of how, if you're a TV producer, do you adapt source material and what do you take from a novel and what do you miss out? And you're always trying to be very honest and respectful of the novels, which, as I say, were our guiding star, but you also have to, you know, try and reimagine for television. The glorious thing in I think these novels and how it led us to Ian and how it led us to a specific interpretation of Arthur is you get to see the man behind the legend, if you like. You know, we're all of us have an idea of Arthur. You know, it's a myth that's endured for generations, and it carries a huge legacy. And it's, you know, every myth kind of or retelling offers something about how that generation lives. You know, you're really, if you do period, you're really also talking about your present day. And so for us, it was getting to know the man behind the myth. So, you know, we know he's a bastard son. So what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of his hierarchy, his you know, access to power, his relationship with his father? You know, in episode one, we see a very brutal, very damaged relationship with his father, King Uther. And I haven't seen that explored in the mythology or in adaptations before. So it was trying to get under the skin of him and really tell an origin story. So I think, you know, in the novels, Arthur is not very prominent in the early chapters. it's more durable, but we knew we needed to, in an adaptation, bring Arthur forward. And so, you know, we started his story much earlier than his story is in the novels. And, you know, hopefully we're landing a beginning that could take us on and on for five seasons or more. I mean, there's certainly the character arc and there's certainly the storylines there to you know, have ambitions for that.
Dr. Northwest Media, our wonderful chat room friend, just got into the room, gave us his wonderful yellow thumbs up. Thank you for that. If you have a question or comment, get in the room or make the call, 646-522-2906. Happy or long to the life. Lachlan, what about some of the other characters that people might know either from movies or from Camelot, like Guinevere, like Merlin, like Morgan Le Fay, and so on and so forth? What was the game plan in terms of the kind of characters and actors you wanted to match up with you? Because, for example, when you think of Guinevere, you think either Julie Andrews or Vanessa Redgrave breaking out in a song, you know, like the lusty month of May or so forth.
I guess it goes back to story, ultimately, and also, in many respects, the tone of the series. I think with Guinevere in particular, she's someone who doesn't come into the series till beyond halfway through season one, but obviously there's a big arc across future seasons. But you're looking for someone who's going to embody the spirit of Guinevere as a character. And the one thing that we were very keen, you know, that we loved about the novels and wanted to really lean into was the fact that with the female characters within the piece, Verne has given them great agency, and that's something that we've developed across it. You know, so whether it's Nimue, whether it's Morgan, you know, Arthur's sister, or Guinevere, they are the people that we really wanted. You know, because when you think about Guinevere, she's been portrayed in the past as like a femme fatale, whereas Nersi, she's, you know, a real sort of tough, strong-minded woman. And finally, you know, Arthur's consigliere, so standing shoulder to shoulder with him when he makes decisions, and that was, you know, one of the sort of aspects that we really wanted to lean in with our female characters. And when we met Jordan Alexander, who plays Guinevere, and Ellie James, who plays Nimue, they completely embodied that spirit. So I guess it's that chemistry between the words on the page, the story, the character arcs, and then the cast member themselves.
We are talking with the two executive producers from the new MGM Plus series, The Winter King. Second episode is on this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on MGM Plus, available on cable and satellite, and in some cases through smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Julie Garner is with us from Santa Monica, California. Lachlan McKinnon live from London, where it is prime time on this, what is Thursday night their time, Thursday afternoon our time. And happy whatever time you're listening to us, you're with us live. Simon Albon with you live from New York, 74 degrees at the top of the hour. Welcome to this Thursday afternoon edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. We're normally on Monday and Friday at this hour on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and TuneIn Radio, plus on over 40 different podcast sites. If you have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, as Northwest Media is doing right now. We have one more episode coming your way this week. It is tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And joining us will be the executive producer with the longest-running family drama shows on television anywhere, Heartland. Comes out of Canada, now in year 16, on the Up Network, Sunday night. That's Up TV. Jordy Randall is the executive producer, and he's also involved in some other things as well. You'll hear about that, too. Jordy Randall from Heartland, Sundays on Up TV. He is with us live tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lachlan, what was it like for you and everybody to do this on location pretty much in King Arthur's territory?
It was a blessing, really. We filmed a lot in the West Country, in England, and also in South Wales. We went as far as Pembrokeshire, the city beach, which is just the most stunning beach, and we were very close to a lot of the lore from the legend. So it was great to be really on the same hunting ground as King Arthur. But making the series itself in this kind of area, we love the kind of epic sweep that landscape has, and was something that we have with our help with Otto Bathurst and Aske, who was a director of photography on Block 1 and Block 3. And they loved the spirit of the place, and the cast as well, just by virtue of being in that space. There was something quite magical about it. And it would take us to Minehead, was one of the beaches we filmed a big sequence with Arthur and Merlin, which is at the end of episode one. I won't give away too many spoilers, but Merlin goes to speak to Arthur to ask the big question at the end of episode one. So it was great to be filming in those spaces and also to develop the idea of the characters themselves. So, for example, with Uther, you know, how do you define what Uther's, would it be a castle? What would that look like in this day and age? So with our production designer, James North, we really lent into that sort of idea of how Uther was different from the other warlords, because his kingdom, you know, the UK at that point, well, England at that point is split up into distant regions, and Dumnonia, which is the heart of our series, and Uther's territory was the biggest and probably most prominent, and he was known as one of the fiercest warlords. So that was something that we wanted to develop within the landscape of England.
Mm-hmm. Julie, was there a particular scene?
I know, so I think the other part
setting
of it was...
Okay.
No, I was just to mention that, you know, one of the big parts of the Arthurian legends as well is the whole question of the, you know, magic and mythology of the space, and that was something, again, within... we filmed at a place called Ridley Park in the woods there, and Nimue, who is Merlin's apprentice and one of the key points of view within the series, it was an interesting discussion that we had about the power of magic, and something that with Merlin and with Nimue we sort of lent into, and there's, it's on a sort of scale, you know, because obviously when Excalibur arrives as well, you want to make sure there's power within Excalibur, but to an extent that it doesn't take any of the agency away from the character. So that was something that we developed within those spaces and within that landscape.
Mm-hmm. Julie, I was mentioning, was there a scene in any of these episodes that you wanted to shoot outside, that you said to yourself, by hook or by crook, no matter what, we're going to get this on film, we're going to get this scene down exactly the way I imagine?
Oh, I like that you think I have that power, that I'm, you know, it's going to be exactly as I see. You know, it's a collaboration. It's a compromise always when you're filming. I mean, I think my general answer, and then I'll give you a specific one, is we shot for 30 weeks. You know, we started in the early summer. We didn't wrap until January. And, oh, my God, you know, have you experienced a lot of weather in a 30-week period in the west of England and South Wales? So, you know, every day, and often, you know, when you see the show, a lot of remote locations, you know, a lot of locations where the crew were, frankly, heroic in getting camera kit and access to, you know, these beautiful spots. So every day, you know, I would be applauding people's hard work and feeling, you know, really grateful for it. I think there were certain scenes, to answer more specifically, that felt really important to us. You know, the discovery of Excalibur, which comes in episode 3. You know, we start very gently with that. It's an example of where we're grounded but telling a big, ultimately, mythology story. So we start in quite a quiet way, and you see, you know, beats of Excalibur build across the season. That felt very rewarding. And to get the beats of that right and calibrated right felt important. I think the scene where Uther physically attacks Arthur in episode 1 was really critical. You know, it's a very long scene. You had to really hold your nerve. You know, there's some stellar performances and directing and writing in that sequence. You know, it's almost like a mini play within episode 1. So I think that was important to hold to and get right. You know, the reveal of Guinevere, you obviously want to hit certain notes with that. So I don't think I could limit myself to a single note in answer, but I can see certain things that, you know, you hold your breath when you're waiting to see the dailies to see if we've hit the right spot.
Yeah. And Lachlan, given the fact that a lot of people have seen that image of Excalibur, the sword, rising from that lake or that pond with the hand at the bottom of the sword, whether they've seen Excalibur, the movie, or Sword in the Stone, the Disney animated piece, or whatever, or Camelot, whatever, did you think, like, how can we make this our own? How can we make this special for project, as opposed to trying to duplicate everybody else's take on that image.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the thinking. You always want to do something different and think about the legend itself and think about what our interpretation is. And I guess it goes back to what what Excalibur represents to Arthur as well. And it's something that our lead writers, Kate Brook and Ed Whitmore, you know, we spent a lot of time discussing that, and also with Otto, just to make sure that we were doing something that did feel authentic and original and paid homage to the story itself. Because I think with Excalibur, you know, often you would say Excalibur is a character within its own right, but in some ways it's part of Arthur spiritually, and we wanted to respect Arthur's character and what that represents to him in the way that Excalibur comes to him, the way it embodies his mother. And it's really the same the moment we find Excalibur. It's such a beautiful moment of connection for Arthur and his sister Morgan, and also the connection to his mother who passed. So we're always thinking about that. And we want to do something different that I think, partly helped by Bernard and his words on the page.
So, Julie, what can we look forward to in season two?
Oh my God, so much. We've only just begun breaking a potential second season. I think you know it's going to be a continuation of season one. We're heavily serialized, so there's certain justices that eventually will need to be meted out on Gundlaeus and Gorfirth. But I think the big thing in season two will be the arrival of Lancelot and Galahad. So, you know, that's the exciting thing about being able to develop this extraordinary source material across multiple seasons is, you know, you can make those choices about when you introduce big, iconic characters into the show. So that's an exciting one for us.
Yeah. And Lachlan, both you and Julia are involved in the production company Bad Wolf, which has done quite a lot of really unique television for different places like Discovery Witches, for AMC, Doctor Who, which is going to be on Disney Plus over this coming season.
Yeah.
And you also got Industry coming up for a third season anytime. What's the latest on what Bad Wolf is doing beside from this show?
Lachlan, you taking that, or do you want me to?
No, you jump into me, yeah.
So I think we should do a little shout out to a show Lachlan and I have just wrapped last week on called Red Eye. It's a contemporary thriller starring Jing Lucy and Richard Armitage. So we're about to get into the edit on that, so we have that coming. I will always shout out for I Hate Susie and I Hate Susie 2, which is on HBO Max. There's a lot coming. I mean, we love the work we do. We're very, very fortunate to, you know, be able to sometimes get to brilliant source material with the best writers. And you mentioned Doctor Who coming very soon. I think there's a countdown clock online, 100 days. We're just under 100 days to its return.
And in the meantime, you've got The Winter King going into its second episode on MGM Plus this Sunday night at 9:15 Pacific Time. MGM Plus available on cable and satellite. Just look into where it's at in your area. In some cases, it's also available in your area on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. More details about the program online, here's where you go. www.mgmplus. That's spelled out, not the sign. That's www.mgmplus.com. The Winter King, Episode 2, this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Julie Gardner from Santa Monica, California. Lach McKinnon from London. Thank you both very, very much for coming on this afternoon. Congratulations on how the show is off to a wonderful start with both critics and viewers, and hopefully many more seasons to come. And we'd love to have you both back to talk more about what you've got with Bad Wolf, like Industry, Doctor Who, and Rena, and a lot of other great stuff to come.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
great to be with you.
Look forward to it.
You're very welcome, Julie Lach. And take care. Have a super rest of your week.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Julie Gardner joining us live from Santa Monica, California. Lach McKinnon joining us live from London, where it's prime time right now, both involved with The Winter King on MGM+. News notes coming your way after this message from Cure. Ever wonder what makes you fatigued or tired at times? Well, try dehydration. It's the leading cause of headaches, brain fog, and muscle weakness. Luckily, there's a way to bounce back, and that way is Cure. It's a clear, tasty, effective way to stay hydrated and operate at your best. Pure's instant drink packets mixed with water contains a balance of electrolytes and glucose, while free of artificial flavors, sweeteners, and preservatives. Pure is all natural and perfect to deploy on the go, at work, or at home. Try Pure today and feel the difference for yourself. Use the promo code TELEVISED, that's TELEVISED, for 20% off your order. That's promo code TELEVISED. And for more details about that order, go to curehydration.com. That's curehydration.com. Pure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. And now, let's give you news notes. A big multi-channel bundle with a huge interactive highway. That's how smart TV set maker TCL is showing off TCL TV Plus, deployed earlier today. TCL TV Plus's bundle encompasses more than 200 linear channels and 1,500 movies and TV series on demand. The interactive element, labeled IDEO or IDEO, allows viewers the ability to personalize various on-screen experiences. Example, have an animated chef assist you utilize a recipe that incorporates specific ingredients in your kitchen as you watch cooking programs. Other possible features through IDEO include product or service ordering and delivery, games, and sports betting. TCL sets with Google TV as the operating system will be first incorporating TCL TV Plus, followed by sets using Roku and Amazon Fire TV platforms. Viewers get this service at no extra charge. A full-time news service combining CNN's simulcast newscast and original content will premiere on Max September 27th. CNN Max, operating 7 days a week, will replace the CNN Originals hub on Max and will keep the 900-plus hours of CNN-produced documentary series and specials there. Now, quickies, episodes of Star Trek Strange New Worlds will run on CBS September 8th. The first two season one installments will run back-to-back that night as part of a global Star Trek Day commemoration. Peacock will open season two of rom-dramedy series Wolf Like Me October 19th. And get ready for, da-da-da-da, Barbie, the TV Toon series. I kid you not, Barbie, the TV Toon series. A Touch of Magic, developed in association with Mattel's TV unit, comes to Netflix on September 14th. And that is News Notes for today. And that is Barbie Televised this Thursday afternoon. Again, thank you to Julie Gardner, Lachlan McKinnon from The Winter King for joining us. And thank all of you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, and we will have Jordy Randall, the executive producer of Heartland, one of the longest-running series of its kind, now in 16th season on Up TV on Sunday night. And yes, we will also have our classic trivia question. So don't worry. You have another day or so to see if you can figure out the answer before we give you another try at the question. And coming your way on Monday, we will have a great lineup of people for you from the new, very local series, Finding Adventure, showrunner Michael Callahan, and one of the top promising episodic TV directors around, Deborah Kempmeyer, will be with us. She's doing episodes of the popular new Prime Video series, Harlan Corbin's Shelter. And then next month, you'll see her work on the second season of HBO's critically acclaimed The Gilded Age, written by Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes. That's Michael Callahan from Finding Adventure and Deborah Kempmeyer, episodic TV director, Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You came in late on today's episode. Want to catch up on episodes you missed? Go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check us out anytime you like, 24/7, on swabitelevised.com, our great website from On Podium, and the more than 40 podcast platforms that take this program, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Zencast Creator Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and more recently, Amazon Music and Audible. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about The Winter King? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it is going now and in the future? Well, all you got to do is email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. When you do, include your name and where you're emailing from. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or we should say X, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. Facebook and LinkedIn is Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you reach out to me, I reach back to you in 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Andy Toews, B-Chart General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, is Head of Content. Website stood by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Kasaris Bakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. Remember, if you want to tell the difference for yourself, use the promo code TELEVISED for 20% off your order at checkout. That's the promo code TELEVISED at CureHydration.com. For tomorrow, I should say CureHydration. That's CureHydration.com. Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Back less than 24 hours. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern to Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcasts and web affiliates. Whatever you're doing to now and then, make it safe and make it great. And keep your thoughts and prayers for the people dealing with the aftermath of Tropical Storm Hillary in Los Angeles, California, and beyond. And, of course, the people in Maui, Hawaii. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.